Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
Good morning.
So that was a moment of silence. I'm curious about what you notice. Did your mind start to create a story about why I'm not talking, just sitting in silence? Did any kind of feeling or opinion arise about what's happening? Maybe you wanted more. Anxiety, discomfort. How open did you remain to that moment? Maybe it was unnamed. Maybe there was no story, right? There was a moment. There's an author. His name is Reginald Ray. I don't remember anymore if he's a Zen teacher or not, but he wrote a book called Blazing Wakefulness. And in this book, this is a quote from the book, he says, the Dharma is not about credentials. It's not about how many practices you've done or how peaceful you can make your mind. And it's not even about accumulating teachings, empowerments, or spiritual accomplishments. Now, this is the heart of the rest of what he wrote. He says, it's about how naked you're willing to be with your own life, how much you're willing to let go of your masks and your armor and live as completely exposed and open human, as a truly open, exposed human being. So when we're offered a moment, a minute or so of silence, are we willing to just simply stay present to that moment? Or do we create, as I suggest, stories, put on masks, protection from the uncomfort, the armor that we set up when we're in a situation that we don't understand? Now, it may not be that way. Maybe you remained open without prejudice, without any trying to conceptualize what was going on, just simply remained open to that present moment. So it's not one-sided. But I am going to talk about being open and simply being connected with this present moment, not dragging into the present moment some experience that we had yesterday or the breakfast that we didn't have today or the good laugh I had yesterday with my friend or the joy of seeing my son for the first time in a couple of weeks. That's bringing the past and the future into the present moment. But just this present moment right now, can you be in just this moment without adding anything to this moment? And doing that, if we're able to do that, we become fully alive. And we join life as it is. So being in the present moment is delightful. It's enlivening and it unburdens our life to just simply be present. Very similar to what Carl said a couple of weeks ago. Simply being present to the sound of a vacuum cleaner. Not creating a story. Not telling yourself I should be doing this. But just simply a vacuum cleaner. Silence. That's it. That's the ingredient of this moment, silence. So openness has no location. It seems that it's everywhere, having room for anything. There can be thought or no thought. There can be feeling or no feeling. There can be sound or silent. Nothing disturbs openness. Just simply being open, waiting without anticipation for what is arising or what will arise in just this simple moment. Now, there's a writer, an author, who's a big part of the spiritual movement in the West, and his name is Joseph Campbell. And Joseph Campbell is a professor of literature at Sarah Lawrence College. And he was a writer, an orator, and best known for his work in the fields of comparative mythology and comparative religion. How many are familiar with them? Okay.
He was still alive.
Well, I think I'm putting it in the wrong. He's not alive. I said it wrong. But he said, we must be willing to let go of the life that we have planned so as to accept the life that's waiting for us, open to the actual ingredients of this moment, not to those that we wish we had. So how is it that we become shut off from our lives, shut off from ourselves? This is a couple of lines from Dogen. Flowers, while loved, fall, and weeds, while hated, flourish. So these words describe a mind that's a picking and choosing mind, right? Immediately disturbing the present moment, picking and choosing, grasping one thing and pushing away another. Now, for most of us, our universe is filled with an internal dialogue, analysis, evaluation, preference. And as we've talked about many times, our mind creates a story about who we think we are and what we think about the world that we're surrounded by. And what happens is this process of storytelling and picking and choosing creates a dualistic relationship that we have with our lives. And as soon as that starts to happen, as soon as I start experiencing the world as dualistic as me and you, or me and life, that creates a space, and it also creates a territory that belongs to me, right? This is my territory. That's Dave's territory. That's Jeff's territory. And when we have a territory and we have this fixed idea, this story about who we are, it creates this space. And so what happens is, what do we have to do? We wind up in this place where we have to protect our space. It's me and you. So we create all these layers, all these filters, which come out of the story that we tell ourselves that's dualistic. So here are these filters. Now I can't see directly anymore. Now I can't be in the present moment anymore, because I'm looking through all these filters. And then the other thing that happens, if it's territorial, if it's dualistic, if it's you over there and me here, is we have feelings, we have emotions about this. But to express those feelings or emotions can feel dangerous. So what do? We create a body of armor that protects us, or so we think, from feeling. So the result is that anything that doesn't fit my story becomes a threat. And a result, we shut off to life and we become closed off human beings. So now what? There is an alternative. And we can meet the unpleasant, the neutral, the pleasant with acceptance. Just this. And if we can do this, if this occurs, we step out of the box that we have trapped ourselves in. That box where we surrender to our stories, our preferences. And when this happens, when we let that fall away, when we let the story dissolve, the filters dissolve, when we allow ourselves to begin to open emotionally, that's when we begin to open to life. We accept things just as they are, not as we want them to be. It's just this, just the ingredients of this moment. Now, this subject of being open comes up a lot in the books and stories about Zen. And many times the word is not open, it's can you be vulnerable to life. Now, to me, I deliberately didn't use that word because I think being vulnerable can be scary. It's like, what do you mean, open ourselves to life, become naked to life? What does that mean? That's pretty scary. But it's only scary until you begin to realize it, experience that. Because if we're open to life, we're open to every single detail, every single ingredient in this situation. Right? Because we're open, we're not shut off. What safer place can there be than that? Right? If there's a danger, we become aware of that because we are wide open. So it doesn't mean that we sit there like this, even though there's a danger. We take those ingredients that are before us, and what do? We know that we have to do this to protect ourselves because it's dangerous. But that ability to respond in harmony with the situation is only there because we are willing to be open. Now, when we let ourselves be open, we start to realize the ability to be present with understanding and compassion. Understanding and compassion are a natural expression of being open, not being shut off, shut down, territorial. Now, I've said this many, many times, but our Zazen is a practice that can be a very important part of learning how to be open to life. When I was, a lot of times I have things that I've written down that I go to for when I write a talk. I don't know, I like this story. And it's, the title of it is The Man Who Said Yes. A man went to a Buddhist monastery for a silent retreat, and after he finished, he felt better. He was calmer, stronger, but there was something that was still missing. So he went to the teacher about this, and the teacher said he should talk to a particular monk before he left to go home. So the man thought for a while. And then he went and he asked the monk, "How do you find peace?" And the monk replied, "I say yes. Say yes to everything that happens." So not long after this, the man returned home and got stuck in a traffic jam on his way to an important meeting at work. And as he was sitting in the traffic jam, he had an awakening, and he said to himself, "Yes, I will be late to my meeting." So let us all say yes to our lives. Mm-hmm.